So this summer, we are starting our sermon series on Psalms. We are going to be looking at a different psalm each week. And if you look at the beginning at this bulletin, it says Jesus's prayer book. There was a book I read a while ago by Philip Yancey. I don't know if I recommend it or not. It's kind of it's a semi-difficult read, but it's an interesting read. And it's titled The Bible That Jesus Read. And it talks about how the Old Testament really helped form who Jesus was, how Jesus thought. Although Psalm 1 tonight, we never really see Jesus directly quoting, we do see reflected in Matthew 5, in the Beatitudes. We see reflected actually in this stained glass that we have here, where we talk about the narrow path and the wide path. The Psalms are something that has always been an important part of Scripture to me. First of all, as a young kid, it was easy to find them, right? Right in the middle. Go to the Psalms. There they are. The Psalms also is a book of really poetry, right? I think we all know this, but I'm going to just say it out loud for everybody to hear. This is the Bible. This is full of many different books. It's like carrying around your own library, your own anthology, right? The Bible has stories. It opens up with like beautiful stories of creation, right? It has war. It has beautiful letters. It has poetry. It has a whole book of just anger, right? Lamentations. You're angry? Go there. Psalms is a good place to go in that too. The Psalms are a place where I can always find a way to connect. And in this psalm tonight, I couldn't think of a better place to preach it. But as y'all look out, did you see the bird like wanted to get closer to Garrett as he was singing? Right? Just float. You can't craft that. That is nature. I did a funeral probably 3 weeks ago in here, and there were birds everywhere, and the woman who died was actually a part of a different community. They thought we released birds to be a part, that was a thing we did, and I was like, no, that was just nature, right? It's a beautiful place to be surrounded by this green. You forget that you're in the middle of Plano, Texas, right? And we're going to dive into this psalm and really look about what it means. What I'm going to try to do each and every week is this psalm that was written before Jesus even walked the earth as a human. What does it mean for us today? Sitting in the middle of West Plano, living our lives, what does it mean to be rooted into something? Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the rolling of the hill, in the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, the chatter of a child, the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the longing of this room and the calming of our minds, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to be moved aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. I don't know if you've noticed, but I say that prayer almost every time before I preach. And why do I say that? I wanted something that would center me into who I know God to be, right? And so I began with earth, with nature. That I see God in this earth in ways, like I used to tell my kids, and I think it probably came from my mother, a sunset, a sunrise, that's God painting a picture for you, right? Just to see God in the beauty of the earth. And then to hear God in somebody deeply close to you, a friend that you need, an advisor. I always find joy and peace in hearing God through children. Like just the innocence and the joy and the no filter of life. Children are joyous in that. And then the strangers that have come into my life, that have spoken wisdom to me when it must have come through God. And in the end of that prayer, I do say each and every time, allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Because when I'm standing up here tonight, I'm here as a vessel, as a channel, to proclaim God's word. If something touches you deeply, it has nothing to do with me. It has all to do with the power of our God in this book. The living, breathing word of God. So let's dive into the Psalms. Okay, the way I love that the version that Chris read and the version that I have. So I have an NRSV. I bet you read NIV, I'm guessing, yeah? NIV, and his started with, blessed are those. Mine starts with, happy are those. And it is just a translation thing, really. When you get to the Hebrew of it, it really means both. That you, because you are blessed, you are happy. Because you are happy, you are blessed. But it doesn't say, like, blessed are you that are happy on the day after your son gets engaged. Of course you're happy. Life is good. Everything's great. You're back in Texas. You have AC. Everything's fabulous. You are blessed and happy. No, this means every day. And I want you to think about the day that you don't feel happy or you don't feel blessed. This is what it's talking about. On these days, blessed really means that you're flourishing, that you're growing. And the way that you can be blessed each and every day is where you've rooted yourself. One of my life regrets, now I'm not going to up and move and fix this tomorrow, is I've always lived in Texas. I've never really moved around. I've traveled some. I love traveling because I think it's important to embrace different people, different cultures. But those who have moved around a lot, I've seen in them that they can still be rooted in a way that makes moving not as difficult. Because they have chosen to plant their heart, their mind, and their soul with God. Earlier this week, as I was reading this scripture in my room in New York City without AC, thinking I am blessed. I'm away from my family. I'm studying 9 hours a day. I love all of this. It is bringing me joy. No, I was really grumpy. I was really grumpy about all of it. But I was blessed. And at the beginning of this, I pictured ourselves as the tree. As we get to choose where we are planted, what we consume. But really, Jesus is the tree. Our Heavenly Father is the tree. We just graft ourselves unto that, to get that nourishment, that sustainability. So what we fill ourselves up with is also really important. So it keeps going on. In verse 2, their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that they meditate day and night. In this, I think about the world's wisdom versus God's wisdom. The Beatitudes sounds a lot like this. Blessed are, and it flips everything, right? The Beatitudes flips everything. I don't need that, it's fine. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, so they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Don't always feel like blessings. Yet even in Psalm 1, it's countercultural. It's talking about where you lay your roots and what your roots are being consumed by. By the world or by wisdom? Arthur has this great story of one of his friends who moved into a neighborhood and their neighbor ended up being a neighbor of like 20 years. And they ended up moving after 20 years. And he kind of asked him, are there any regrets you had? And he said, yeah, I always wanted a large tree in our backyard for the kids to play on. And every year I'd think, I'll plant the tree next year. And every year, the year would go and the year would go, and I'm moving out of this house 20 years later. What would have happened if I would have planted the tree? I would have had shade. I would have had shelter. There would have been roots. Maybe there would have been a tree house, but I never stopped to take the time to plant the tree. And I thought about it in reading this verse. Plant the tree. For those who meditate day and night, they are like trees planted by streams of water, which yields their fruits in season, and their leaves do not wither, and all that they do prospers. So what nourishes you matters. I will say one of the habits that I got into and through peer pressure is we went and got ice cream almost every single night. Got a quick lunch at a place that was recommended to me, $5 hot dogs, although the prices are going up on June 1st. I got a hot dog and a drink for $5. So I was not quite nourishing myself well, right? I had lots of pizza, hot dogs, and ice cream over the past 10 days. Luckily, I walked like 20,000 steps a day, so it balanced everything out. But like, I got home and I just wanted an apple. I don't think I'd had a piece of fruit unless it was a topping of an ice cream for 10 days. That's not nourishing yourself well. That is not allowing what comes into your body producing. Of course I was tired at night. I was eating pizza, hot dogs, and ice cream like a six-year-old every single day. When I got home, like Dan said to me, what do you want for dinner tonight? I was like, vegetables, a protein, and some fruit. Like that's all I want for the next 2 weeks. Vegetable, protein, and fruit. Because that's when I feel my best. Because that's what nourishes you. The other thing that happened to me, over as much as I'm going to complain about it, gosh, y'all, my mind was nourished. I got up every day, went downstairs. We started the day in prayer, intentional prayer, with 10 other people who are getting their master or whatever, doctorate in ministry. And it was powerful. And then we would go to different churches in the afternoon, and we would end each session looking the pastor in the eye and saying, how can we pray for you? And we wouldn't just write it down and say, okay. Our professor would have one of us gather. We would put arms on and hands on the male or female pastor, and we would pray over them for what they asked. So nourishment isn't just hot dogs, pizza, and ice cream. Nourishment is what you consume throughout the week. How do you start your day? Do you start it in the Word of God? Do you end it in the Word of God? When you are frustrated and angry, do you take a breath and say a prayer? This is what the Psalms have done for me all of my life. I don't know if you've ever heard it. I think Lauren Gerlach says it. Scripture is like having just a piece of the Bible in your back pocket at all times, right? I bet most of us can recite the Lord's Prayer. Remember when I used to work out a whole lot during planks, that's what I would do. I would recite the Lord's Prayer. Our instructor used to say, twinkle, twinkle, little star. I was like, I can one-up you. And instead of twinkle, twinkle, little star, I would say the Lord's Prayer during the 1 to 2 minutes, not usually two. I would try to hold this plank in exercise class. It's a simple thing. How many of you know Psalm 23? How many of you can recite the Apostles' Creed? These are little nuggets of God's grace that we can take with us, because that is the other word I really want to look into. On verse 2, it talks about ways to live. And it says, on those who meditate in their law. So meditate in Hebrew, of course, has a greater meaning because it's just this wonderful language that has fullness and depth to it. So I want you to think about meditate in three different ways. Kind of like we've talked about peace, and shalom means to reorder your life. It doesn't mean lighting a candle and like, oh. Also, meditate does not mean that. Okay? Meditate does not mean just sitting outside in silent, somber, meditating on God's word. Not saying that's a bad thing, but let's think about it in this way. Meditate means to chew on it, literally in Hebrew, to chew on it, to think about it, to really let it nourish you. So the first response in meditate is to really, like, think about it hard, chew on it. What does it really mean to you? Then it means to repeat it. So first you chew on it, which means you think about it in a different way, and then you say it again. Then you carry it out. That's what meditate means. To deeply think about it, consume the Word of God, to repeat it again, to make sure you fully understand it. Do you know teachers usually repeat things 7 times before people actually remember it? And then you carry it out. You don't just read it and go. You read it, you think about it, and then you do something with it. And we're just in verse 1 and 2 of this Psalm. We move to 3, and it says, they are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield fruits in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. So I want to talk about what it feels like when you're not prospering. Because when I read this, I read that people are happy because they love God, and God loves them, so everything works out. That is not what it's actually saying. It does not mean that when you are planted and you are rooted in God, you have an easy life. I don't ever want one of you to think that. This book that we talked about earlier is full of pain. It's full of anguish. What it also is full of is resilience and hope through Christ. So the promise isn't an easy life. The promise is being resilient. That when the storm comes, your roots are so deep into the Word of God that you can still flourish. That in that next season, you can still produce fruit. That as tired as you are, your leaves do not wither. That is what this scripture is saying to us. Because then it gives you the opposite. You can choose to do different. He uses the word the wicked, so you make that choice if you want to. But it says the wicked are not so. They chaff in the wind that drives away. The wicked will not stand in judgment. They are sinners and the sinners of righteousness. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I don't want to say you're wicked. I don't want to say I'm wicked. But sometimes it is easier to consume hot dogs, pizza, and ice cream. Could I have gone to the bodega and gotten a piece of fruit? Absolutely. Could I have gone to the restaurant down the street? Like, I remember one night watching as I'm eating a piece of pizza thinking, huh, that salad looks really good. Did I order the salad? No, I did not. Sometimes it's easy to consume pizza, hot dogs, and ice cream, even though you know it's not good for you. I thought, well, I'm balancing it out. I'm walking a lot. My room's on the fifth floor. There's no elevator. It's hot. I'm sweating. I'm drinking water. That's good for me. But what I was consuming was not. And by about day seven, my body was like, please, dear God, stop. When we do not consume the word of the Lord, by like day seven, our heart and our mind is like, please stop. Recenter. Meditate on the word of God. Don't read it. Don't listen to it. Don't just write it. Meditate. Chew on it. Repeat it. And then do something about it. As we go out this week, read Psalm 1. Read it in the NRSV. Read it in the NIV. Read it in the Message. Go read it in Hebrew just for fun. Just kidding. It's not really fun. I like it though. Consume the Word of God. And then think, huh, this is reflected in the Beatitudes. Maybe you go read that. See what happens when you start consuming the Word of God? It changes what you want to do in that day. Maybe you turn off that radio in the news show and you listen to your scripture on the commute. Maybe you turn off Netflix for a minute and call a friend who needs to hear your voice. Root yourself where you can stand and withstand what's going to come at us. For again, we're not promised an easy life, but we're promised a life that we can be resilient. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, I pray a blessing over this congregation, both here with us and online. Let the word of your mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight. Let us all consume what you have given us so that we can meditate on it and respond. For we are better together. We are better when we know that we are called to serve, not just on Saturday night or on Sunday morning, but 7 days a week. Let our hands be your hands. Let our feet be your feet. Let our words be your words, and our heart be your hearts. As we go out today, we go out blessed because of you. Amen.